We continue this morning with a homily in the sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. Many biblical commentators say the greatest sermon ever preached, as Jesus taught his disciples and his followers how to live as God's people. One of the beauties of the Sermon on the Mount is that it's simple. It's hard to live into. It's hard to pattern our lives after, but Jesus' teaching is quite simple. We live in a hey, look at me world, don't we? I used to think it was just a stage of human development. If you've ever had children or grandchildren and been on a playground, you know what it's like to have a child on the top of the slide and they're yelling, what? Look at me, look at me. And if there are more children there, they pick up on that pretty quick and they start saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. But I believe that we live in an age today that can best be defined as look at me. We look at our social media platforms, and in many ways, they're a vehicle to say, look at me. Very rarely when we look at social media do we see somebody's worst day laid out for the world to see. Very often, it's quite the opposite. We don't have people going, look at the hot mess that my life is. We have people carefully crafted selfies and photos of their best days to say, look at me. Look at me. And as we approach the sixth chapter of Matthew and the 18 verses we're assigned this morning, Jesus is speaking to a group of people who have been formed in a faith and in a practice of that faith. And as he's watched them live that, he's realized they were living too in a look at me world in a great many ways. Would you join me as we pray before we turn to Matthew 6 this morning? Father, we're grateful for the gift of your word. We're grateful for Jesus' teaching here in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. And we pray that our hearts might be made by your Holy Spirit to be fertile ground, and that your word might take deep root in each of us. And we give you thanks that you are faithful to do that. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room be the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In chapter 6 of Matthew, we find these words of Jesus. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to the others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the ancient Jewish people, there were three pillars of disciplines that made them faithful to Judaism. Almsgiving, giving to the needy, prayer, and finally fasting. Spiritual disciplines that are still around today, and for some in the Jewish faith, there are rabbis that teach with the absence of a temple where sacrifices can be offered for the remission of sins, those three things will give you forgiveness in their interpretation of the Jewish faith. Those are also three spiritual disciplines that we practice as followers of Jesus. And Jesus had observed people in his day and how they practiced those disciplines. But before he expounds on them, and notice that Jesus, with the exception of prayer, in which he gives us a model prayer, which is very simple, as a guide to how to pray, doesn't do a lot of in-depth teaching on giving to the needy or fasting. He affirms them as worthy disciplines, but he makes it clear it's not the technique, it is the intention. And he prefaces this by verse 1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others." Be careful not to try and show the world that you're right with God in front of others to be seen by them. And then he repeats an oft-repeated line, "If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." That phrase appears multiple times in these 18 verses. He then begins to talk about giving to the poor, charity. He says, when you give, notice he says not if, but when you give, don't be like the hypocrites. Hypocrites is a don't be like the hypocrites. There's another phrase that appears three times in these 18 verses. The Greek word that we translate hypocrite means play actor. Don't be like a play actor who is trying to make other people believe there's something else, is what Jesus is saying. So when you give to the poor, don't be a play actor and try and make other people believe something that you're not. And don't blow trumpets to announce your gifts. Now, there's no history that suggests that was ever done. Jesus is using hyperbole. But there is evidence that people talked a lot about the charitable giving they were doing. They made announcements about it. And Jesus is saying, when you do that, you're a play actor. And the reward that you are seeking is the exact reward you're going to get. And that is, you're going to try and fool people, and you'll fool some of the people. But with charitable giving, with praying, with fasting, what we're going to find as we walk through the scripture this morning is that when we engage in spiritual disciplines like giving and praying and fasting, we're called to do that for an audience of one, our Father in heaven, who sees all, who knows all, who is not fooled by character actors, and who created us and called us as followers of Jesus to bring glory to him. Jesus says, don't announce it. When you give, give so that even your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. And your Father in heaven will see it. And you will bring glory to him. And that is our purpose. That's the intention we should be engaging in that spiritual discipline for. To be like Jesus, to live as Jesus lived, and to bring honor and glory to God, not to say to the world, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look what I just did. Jesus goes on. And when you pray, what? Do not be like the hypocrites. Don't be like those play actors. He said the pagans, they pile up word after word after word after word because they think their many words will have an effect. People were known, Jewish people in the temple were often known to pray out loud, to stand. Jesus observes that in the temple one day. A leader of the Jewish people standing and praying out loud and saying, at least I'm not like that man who was silently praying, not seeking to draw attention, but simply saying, I'm a sinner. Jesus says, do not be like those play actors who think that piling up words reflects well on them, that praying as a show proves something other than that they want the reward of attention from other people. He said, instead, pray simply. And he outlines the model prayer. A prayer that, if you notice, is given as instruction on how to simply pray. To simply pray. And he says, do this in private. And the prayer has three petitions. Hallowed be your name. God, may your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May you reign here. May heaven come down. And may your will be done. Those three petitions frame our relationship with God. That God is holy. That we pray that his kingdom will come and that his will be done. Notice it doesn't say anything about our will being done, but that God's will be done. And then he teaches us to ask for three basic things for ourselves, our daily sustenance. Those give us today what we need to survive. Give us what we need to live today. Forgive us our sins. There's not a more powerful prayer or a more needed prayer than that. Forgive us our sins. And keep us from evil. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from sin in the world. And Jesus goes on to say, when you pray that God would forgive you, realize that what you've got to do is forgive others. Because you can't ask God to forgive you your sin and you're holding on to your sin. Your resentment, your anger, that's sin in response to sin. Something that's been done to you. Jesus says, forgive that, and then say to your Father in heaven, forgive me. But Jesus taught that simple prayer because he didn't see a lot of simple prayers being prayed. Probably not too much different than some of our prayers, are they? I mean, when I'm honest with myself, I don't often pray simple prayers. In fact, a lot of times, I'm ashamed to say, I try to bring God up to speed. You know? If somebody says, would you pray for me because I'm having surgery on Wednesday? If I follow Jesus' prayer, I pray, Father, John's having surgery on Wednesday. Be his great physician. But what I find myself praying is, God, oh God, you know John, he's having surgery on Wednesday at 10:30 at Forsyth Clemens. Oh God, I don't know the surgeon, but be with that surgeon. We need to pray for our surgeons, but God already knows who his surgeon is. God knows when the surgery is, where it is, and he even knows whether they're going to be backed up that day, and that 10 o'clock surgery is actually going to be 11:30. But I'm trying to bring God up to speed because I sometimes treat God like he's out of the loop and he needs me to catch him up. It also, if I'm with other people, makes me seem more important because I know all that stuff. And Jesus says, pray simply. Stop being a play actor. Because when you're a play actor, you're going to get what you're looking for, which is other people noticing you. But the purpose of the discipline of prayer is so that your Father in heaven might hear, and he knows what you need before you even pray it. And here's the thing. He knows that, yes, John needs that surgery, but he knows John's deepest need that John might not even know about right now. And that's the beauty of knowing the great physician. For when we lay someone before the throne of grace, it's there that we're most deeply known. So the most powerful prayer we can pray is, Lord, I lay before your throne of grace, John. Today. Jesus says, don't be like the play actors. And in doing so, he teaches us to pray simply and to remember that God is God. Jesus then turns to fasting. Now, of the spiritual disciplines, I find that fasting may be one of the least engaged in with your average Christian. But In Jesus' day, fasting was a routine spiritual discipline. And people really lived into it when they wanted others to notice. They would come with sackcloth and ash. They would look distressed. If you've ever fasted, you know there comes a point when you don't have to just look distressed, you are distressed, right? But they exaggerated their facial expressions. They would render their clothes so that people could tell, oh, you're fasting. And Jesus says, wash your face, anoint your head. And what he's saying there is that in that day, in order to cleanse themselves, people would put oil on their head. It would run down their face, and then they would scrape that oil off their skin. And that would exfoliate and cleanse their face. But people would not do that if they were fasting because it gave them a more dramatic outward appearance. Jesus says, no. Wash your face, anoint your head. Present yourself as if it's an ordinary day. Because it's God Himself who sees and knows that you're fasting. Because if you go to all the trouble, if you go to all the theatrics to be a play actor, you're going to get noticed. But that's your reward. You're going to get exactly what you're looking for. Rather, let it be between you and God. Let it be between you and God, for your focus will be where it is supposed to be, on your Father in heaven. The great Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Discipleship, wrote this, and I think he is so insightful. The hiddenness that should characterize the disciple's action applies to the disciple. They should keep on following Jesus and should keep looking forward to him who is going before them, but not at themselves and what they're doing. The righteousness of the disciples is hidden from themselves. Here's what Jesus, I believe, is teaching in these 18 verses about spiritual discipline, be they the three that he speaks on or any of the spiritual disciplines that we practice. Practice those disciplines, but do them for an audience of one. And the easiest way to do that is to fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him. Do what Jesus does, live as Jesus lived, and focus on him to the point that you are so focused on your rabbi, on your teacher, on your savior, on your king, that you see only him. You no longer see yourself. You no longer see others. You are simply living as Jesus lived. And when you do, you no longer are worried about what other people think. And you forget about trying to impress others with your righteousness. It's hard to live into. But it's a simple rule for life. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is our rabbi. He is our teacher. He is our savior, and he is the one who came as God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and lived among us. If we fix our eyes upon him and live as he lived and do as he did, our eyes will be in the right place and our motivations will be in the right place, and we will break free of the look at me world that we live in. And we will say some of the most important words a follower of Jesus will ever say. And it's not look at me, it's look at Jesus. In our look at me world, may we be people who by our lives and the way we live and the way we focus on Jesus with our very beings proclaim, look at him, look at my Lord. Father, we are grateful. We're grateful that you meet us not in the midst of our attempts to say, look at me, be impressed with me, but rather you meet us at the times when alone we say, Father, teach me. Teach me to be like Jesus. May your Holy Spirit be at work in us, teaching us how to follow so closely to Jesus, who is our rabbi, that we're covered in the dust that his feet stir up, and that we become people whose very lives proclaim not, as our world does, look at me, but rather look at Jesus, our King and our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.